Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Like to be a Temple Mount activist. Whew, you know, when you come and you live in Israel, there's so much politics going on that affect our lives directly. And if you're coming to live in Israel, you might be ideologically motivated as well. You want to become more spiritual. You want to have your life have more meaning. And what can give it that? If you think about what it was like during biblical times, and when we had the Holy Temple, when light was emanating from this amazing building, with the amazing prayers that went on there, with the amazing miracles, the incense, the sacrifices, which were like barbecues, and it was like a soup kitchen where people would come and eat, whether you were needy or rich, everybody ate there. If you were rich, you had a little bite because you would go home and have a large meal. And if you were poor, you could have a wonderful, scrumptious meal without having to feel embarrassed standing in line at a soup kitchen. It was a wonderful social welfare system, but the temple was so much more. And we're going to find out about what it's like to be a Temple Mount activist today, and basically how you can even maybe be part of it yourself. We're going to be talking with our guest, and you can call in as well and ask any questions or make any comments that you'd like. Our numbers are on the top of our homepage at israelnewstalkradio.com. By the way, if you are on israelnewstalkradio.com and you scroll down just a teensy-weensy bit from where our phone numbers and chat room is, you're going to see the Israel 2020 Vision Tour that we have there. Now, this is exciting because I'm going to be going on this tour. I've never done this before. Oh, boy. So it'll either be a treat or it'll be, well, let's put it this way, an experience. It'll be an experience for all of us. It's going to be a fantastic tour, though. I'm so excited. It's going to be visiting from the top part of the country to the bottom. You're going to see the Lebanese border, the Syrian border. It's going to be so special. You're going to get a tour that no other tourist gets. It's just amazing. All of this is coming up. Don't go anywhere. Invite your friends in the chat room, everybody. We'll be right back.
G'day, I'm Jono Vandoor.
And I'm Ross Nichols.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories.
We're going to be talking about...
What are we going to talk about?
A person who takes out a terrorist with a pizza tray.
And there's Donald Trump talking to a turkey. What's that about?
A 71-year-old rock star is a staunch supporter of Israel.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind.
Every Thursday.
All right, you're listening to the Tamar Yonah Show here on israelnewstalkradio.com, and today we are asking the question, what's it like to be a Temple Mount activist? It is a really charged topic. Whenever you talk about the Temple Mount, if the Muslims hear it, a lot of them go crazy. Some people call it the powder keg. And if you talk about some Jews, they'll say, oh, that's a long time ago, and they don't even think about it. And then there are other Jews who are saying, yes, 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 we want to see the third temple rebuilt in Jerusalem in our days. And they are working tirelessly for it, sometimes even getting arrested, or some in some cases maybe even violently pushed around beat up, etc. So what is it like? We're going to be speaking now with Michael Miller. He is a Temple Mount activist, and he's a guide through the Temple Mount Heritage Foundation. He's also active with the students for the Temple Mount movement, and he's here to answer all of our questions. If you would like to call in with any comments or questions for our guest, feel free to do so. Our numbers are on the top of our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Shalom, Michael Miller.
Shalom, Mrs. Tamar Yonah. Thank you so much for hosting me on your show.
I'm very, very happy to do so. I am one of the people who look forward, and one of the millions of people that look forward to seeing the Third Temple built. And I believe that it's, you know, some people have learned that in a way the temple is going to drop from heaven miraculously and just fall on the Temple Mount. I'm one of the people who a bit more... I don't want to use the word realist, but I believe in miracles happening in a very natural way, and that we will rebuild it just as we rebuilt the first temple and we had the second temple. You are an activist. Tell us, what do you do? What is it like? And how did you become an activist for the Temple Mount?
Right. So what my job through the Temple Mount Heritage Foundation is to guide Jews and both non-Jews in the holiest site in Judaism, to tell them what once was, what is currently there right now, and what eventually will be, to hopefully build the third temple in order to be not only a light unto the nations, but also to finally declare outright Jewish and Israeli sovereignty on the holiest site in Judaism. And it is quite a special, tremendous, and unique merit and privilege to do so in our time.
Why is it such a powder keg in so many instances?
Well, because as you very well know throughout the news media and outlets, etc., there are a lot of Muslims up there who pray at the Al-Aqsa, and there are also Jews who go up there. So two separate nations are claiming ownership of the holiest of the site, theirs being Mecca and Medina, and ours being the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. They claim that Al-Aqsa is their third holiest site. Obviously, it's our first holiest site. And it's a constant struggle. Who will gain ownership? Who will have sovereignty? And simply put it, who's going to be victorious? And who's going to eventually rule over the Temple Mount and have true and just sovereignty up there?
Okay, so when you started to become active for trying to promote the thought that, hey, everybody, you know, it's time now. We,
right.
1967, Israel liberated the Temple Mount, and God actually just gave it to us in our hand, and then we went and slapped God in the face, so to speak, by just giving it to our enemies right back. That was what Moshe Dayan did.
Exactly.
But what did your parents think? You know, like, be a good boy, don't get into any trouble. This is too, you know, you can go to jail and you can get beat up or who knows what. Like,
exactly.
What was it like?
No, they told me to be. No, they didn't tell me to be. I was obviously a good Jewish boy, and they were very much for it. After obviously convincing them that it was very safe, and the fact that they knew I was very passionate about it, and it's just a very awe-inspiring privilege to be up there. And I even took them up there for the first time. This was some time ago on Israel Independence Day or Yom HaAtzmaut. Because the day that the God of Israel brought the Jewish people home to the land of Israel, what better way to thank him than to ascend his holy mountain and to thank him in person, if you will, and to shake his hand and give a nice yisher koach for starting the redemption process. So thank God, Baruch Hashem, they are very much supportive of it, and they're very, very for it, and yeah, they love it.
Now, the Supreme Court of Israel, surprisingly, has said that Jews have a right to pray on the Temple Mount. However, the police in Israel are saying that it's a provocation for the Muslims who are up there. The Muslims will turn violent, and therefore they enforce, it's not a law, but they enforce that Jewish people, if they even stand there and move their lips as if they're praying, they can be forced off the Temple Mount and in some cases even arrested. Tell us about
that. Exactly. So what most people do not know, actually, is that, ironically enough, the Supreme Court has ruled in the past time and time again that indeed Jews have a basic democratic right in the Jewish state of Israel to pray on the Temple Mount. Now, what in fact happens in practice is that the police pretty much bar anything that would quote-unquote disturb the peace. And how they define as disturbing the peace is anything that would provocate the Muslims to incite against Jews. So although we are permitted to pray 100%, the police sadly do not enforce the law so as not to offend the Muslim feeling and to respect, ironically enough, to respect the holiness of the site and to not offend any Muslims up there, because any form or sign of Jewish worship apparently hurts their feelings.
Yeah, and it's a bit crazy because, you know, they're up there so-called praying and we don't want to hurt their sensibilities and disturb them, and yet they have regular daily kids playing soccer on the Temple Mount.
Exactly, yeah, they treat it like a gun soccer. They treat it like a park. They play a soccer. They have picnics. They treat it like a hangout place. And this is, you know, how they so-called treat their, you know, the third holy site in Islam. And I see it pretty much every other day. And even when I do video various instances of Arabs playing soccer, in best cases, the police actually take the ball away and then they simply give it back to them when I'm not looking. So we just try and restore public order as best as our ability. And unfortunately, this is the situation that it has come down to. But we try our best to somewhat safeguard the rule of law. And yes, unfortunately, if the police do see that we are, you know, show any sign of Jewish worship, we either get detained or reprimanded, or in the worst case scenario, we get arrested and then we have to hire a lawyer to support us and back us, because the lawyers know that according to the Supreme Court, it is indeed permitted, but unfortunately the police do not enforce the law, as I said before, because due to sensitivity issues of the Muslims up there.
So very briefly, because we only have another 2.5 minutes until we get to the end of this segment, how does one become a guide on the Temple Mount? I mean, you're a young guy, and what did you do? You knock on someone's door, some office door, and say, "Hi, I'd like to apply for the job of being a tour guide on the Temple Mount." Tell us how do you do all this?
So basically, being that I'm very active through the Students for the Temple Mount, within Students for the Temple Mount, they have a Temple Mount, there is what's called the Temple Mount Heritage Foundation, and through them, we have Yaakov Hyman, who happens to be an amazing, amazing Jew, lives in Beit Orot, and he is the director of the foundation. And through him, I did the course, which is only about a month's worth of information. And through them foundation, I became an activist. Simple as that.
Is there a training course? How do you do it?
There is a training course. You simply go to their Facebook page. You send them a private message on Facebook saying, "I am interested in joining the course." The last time we had a course was some time ago due to obviously lack of interest and mainly budget. So hopefully we'll have another course in the near future to train future guides on the Temple Mount.
What is the name of this Facebook page that you go to?
It is called, in Hebrew, it is called Studentim Leman Harabayit, or in English, Students for the Temple Mount, or the Temple Mount Heritage Foundation has a Facebook page of their own.
Okay, so that's kind of like how you start getting involved in it. All right. We are speaking with Michael Miller. He, as I said before, is a Temple Mount activist, and he is a tour guide on the Temple Mount. I'm going to be asking him during the show about some stories that have happened up on the holiest site in the world, the Temple Mount. There's been lots of arrests that have happened. There's been violence. There's been attacks that have taken place. What happens to the Jews who are praying at the Western Wall, which is right below the Temple Mount area, because the Arabs often throw from the top of the Temple Mount onto the worshipers at the Kotel, the Western Wall, chairs, rocks, all sorts of things. We'll be asking him a little bit about some of the stories that have gone on over there. And also want to ask him about the Tisha B'Av holiday. What is that all about? What does that have to do with the Temple Mount? The 1967 Six-Day War. And more things as well. Feel free to call in if you would like to as well. Ask a question or make a comment. You can do so. Our numbers are on our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. You're listening to the Tamar Yonah Show here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. And again, feel free to call in. And you can also join us in the chat room. That's the orange button at the top of our homepage. So we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Hi everyone, this is Andrea Simintow from Jerusalem inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simintow, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On the Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. And the question we're asking today is, what is it like to be a Temple Mount activist? Our guest is Michael Miller. He is a guide on the Temple Mount for the Temple Mount Heritage Foundation. He's also active with the students for the Temple Mount movement. Now, before we finish the last segment of the show, Michael, I was talking about the Tisha B'Av holiday that we just observed last week. And yes, we fasted, we mourned that we don't have our temple. It's been almost 2,000 years since we've had the temple. And briefly tell us about that.
So Tisha B'Av is the national mourning holiday in which the first and second temples were destroyed and various other calamities befell the Jewish people throughout this time. And so to commemorate this day, many Jews took it upon themselves not only to mourn, to sit, and to cry, and to say doleful keynotes or psalms relating to the temple, but also to ascend and arise and ascend to the Temple Mount to commemorate this national mourning day. And we went up there to simply signify the mourning fast day.
Okay, and so today we are still mourning the temple. It's hard to mourn for something that you've never experienced yourself. It's like telling somebody, you had a great, 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 great grandfather, and it's the anniversary of his death now. And I want you now to start fasting for him and cry, actually have tears coming out of your eyes and cry for him. What do you have to say about that?
Right. So obviously, how do I expect Jews to feel for something they never felt? For 2,000 years, we have unfortunately had no temple. You know, forget the temple. We didn't have the land of Israel. We never had Jewish sovereignty in the land of Israel. The very concept of having a state of our own is very new and very recent, unfortunately. So it's very difficult to grasp this idea of having a national symbol, a national building, a place for God to call his home, and the place that God decided to dwell his divine presence in the land of Israel. So it's a very hard idea to grasp and very hard to process, but the place that we have been dreaming of and yearning to come back to for 2,000 years, three times a day, We pray for the eventual rebuilding of Jerusalem. And that does not mean the Israeli Knesset or the Supreme Court. It means the Temple Mount. It means the Beit HaMikdash, Hashem's home. And eventually, hopefully, please God, we will build it sooner or later, because that is our ultimate destiny as the Jewish people.
Hopefully sooner. Okay, we have a caller. Hi there, caller. What's your first name and where are you calling from?
Michael from Vancouver. My comment question is, it seems that the Muslim side is extremely terrified of Jewish people praying there. To me, that's kind of like a hint. That's kind of interesting. And it seems they figured it out more than we. They know that our prayers are special there. So maybe if we figured it out, the power that we have to pray there, and they're all together, nobody could stop us non-violently, and we just go there and pray, and that's it. So my question is, do you think that Jewish people in general, or Israel, do you think that we're, collectively scared of our destiny, collectively scared of what God wants for us, and kind of suffering some kind of collective post-traumatic stress disorder?
That's a really interesting question you're asking.
It's an amazing question.
Yeah, yeah. So are we scared? Why don't we do it? Why don't we just go out? I mean, I remember when I went to some big thing at the Temple Mount, we had it was a demonstration, I think, against giving Jerusalem away. I think it was when Barack was... or Olmert, I don't remember who was prime minister then. And we had 250,000 people there. I was thinking, what are we doing staying down in the plaza of the Western Wall? We should be going up to the Temple Mount. Nobody would be able to stop a crowd of 250,000 people. Why don't we do that? Great question, Michael. Thank you for calling in.
Yes. So thank you very much for calling in. And thank you very much for the question. I appreciate it. And the answer is that the nation of Israel, if you will, it might sound a bit funny, but we are scared of our own shadow. The Muslims know very well what will happen, not only once we can actually pray up there, but once the Jewish people are unified and praying up there. That is our ultimate weapon. Unfortunately, we ourselves are not even aware of the specialness and uniqueness and intensity of our prayer. They realize it. They know what's happening. And they know what's happening whether they like it or not. And they see that there's a tremendous trend of Jews going up and demanding their rights to pray and going up there and being stubborn and insistent and investing time in going up. And they realize that the trend is going forth. And many rabbis are against and many rabbis are for. And thank God there's a tremendous trend of Jews going up. And I just wish that more Jews realize the specialness and the uniqueness and the intensity and the spiritual level of our prayer up there, and it means so much more up there, and they themselves know it. I just wish it's us ourselves that aren't aware of the amazing potential that we have today as a nation, and also the amazing potential that our prayer has up there. It's really mind-boggling, and they know it, and they're scared of it.
In 1967, God gave us a miraculous six-day war. We went in, we doubled the size of Israel. We tripled the size of Israel. We got the Sinai, we got Judea and Samaria, which some refer to as the West Bank today, the Temple Mount, of course. We remember the recording of, I think it was General Mota Gur, who said, Har Habayit B'yadenu, the Temple Mount is in our hands. Soldiers
our
ran
hands.
Up there, they were crying after so long, we had it. And then what happened? Tell our listeners.
And then what happened? So unfortunately, afterwards, the defense minister then, Moshe Dayan, actually did not, he called it a Vatican, and he actually didn't want responsibility for it because he considered the Jewish Temple Mount as a mere historical monument, while he considered it, in his eyes, an Arab holy site. While it was a historic artifact to us, it was a holy site for them and a prayer site for them. So he said that, okay, fine, we don't need the Temple Mount. We can suffice with the Western Wall, and we could simply give them the keys, and it rightfully belongs to them. And sadly and regretfully and unfortunately, we are paying for that tragic, horrific national mistake that we did 52 years ago. And we are paying for it with our sovereignty. And it's a real tragedy.
All right. It's a very big tragedy. It's just like, you know, I mean, Lahavdil ben Kodesh Lachol, making a difference here. It's like, you know, if my grandmother, let's say, may she rest in peace, gave me her special heirloom of a pearl necklace that's been passed down from mother to daughter, from mother to daughter and granddaughter. And now she's giving it to me. And I say, oh, and I take it. And then she dies, and then I take these pearls and I give it to my enemy, my next door neighbor, because he says that if you don't give me everything you have, I'm going to go, you know, to war against you. I'm going to make trouble
exactly.
for you. I'm giving
it's
away the
2000,
most.
It's a 2,000 year gift that the God of Israel, that Hashem gave us, and we are throwing it away. We are literally throwing this amazing gift away.
Yes, it's not. It's more than an amazing gift. It's the salvation of the world. It's God's
exactly.
God's home. All right. So the status quo since then.
The status quo since then is that unfortunately Jews are not allowed to pray up there. But thank God the police have actually eased up on the restrictions. Now we can actually pray to ourselves without actually praying loudly. And the status quo is simply the fact that the Muslims don't want us to pray up there because, again, they're aware of the specialness and the intensity of our prayer up there, and they know what will happen. And the status quo is that simply we can't pray up there, we can't bow, we can't prostrate, we can't bring up any tefillin, salat kriyas, I think it's called in English. We're not allowed to bring a sidur, a talit,
a sidur is a prayer book for anybody who doesn't know.
Exactly. And we're not allowed to bring any national symbols. We're not allowed to bring an Israeli flag up there. We're not allowed to bring any forms or signs of Jewish worship or Israel, anything Israel sovereignty related, anything state related, not even flags of other countries. You know, flags are waved of, you know, Fatah and Hamas and Turkish and PA. You know, they're all waved in public for everyone to see. But anything, you know, Jewish pride or Israel pride, it is strictly forbidden, unfortunately, for now.
Have you ever prayed on the Temple Mount?
So I actually did pray on the Temple Mount, yes.
Once? Twice? What?
I prayed once, actually. And that was actually a very awesome moment that I was with 42 other Jews together with three other rabbinical figures of the Temple Mount movement. And 42 of us actually prayed. We screamed Shema Yisrael, screamed Baruch Shem Kavod, various Jewish battle cries, and we were thrown off the mount because the Muslims were upset that, as opposed to, you know, Jews walking and ascending up there and behaving, you know, like quiet sheep, being very militant to ourselves, we decided to show off Jewish pride and Jewish strength and Jewish dignity and Jewish self-respect, and we decided to, you know, show them the true power of the Jewish people and the God of Israel. And they threw us out, and they realized themselves, they saw in their eyes what it really means to have Jewish unity on the holy site in Judaism. And that's what terrifies them the most.
So 40-some of you were yelling out Shema Yisrael, the prayer, Hear, O Israel, the
exactly.
Lord our God, the Lord is one.
The adrenaline
and you weren't,
rush.
What?
The adrenaline rush was absolutely outstanding.
Hmm. And you weren't arrested?
So I was actually detained, and that was once.
Did they take your name?
They did take my name.
Did they tell you you're banned from the Temple Mount for a certain amount of time?
So actually, I wasn't banned because it was quote unquote my first offense. So they simply told me to come in for a small hearing to not do it again, to, you know, go over.
Okay, hang on to your thought. We'll be right back, everybody.
Leap of Faith with Penina Taylor.
We live in the age of information, but not inspiration. If you're like me, you're looking to be inspired, to reach higher, to connect more, and to grow. Well, if you want to get warm, you need to stand close to the fire. And if you want to catch fire, you need to stand close enough to get hit by the sparks. Join me, Penina Taylor, as we walk with people who have embarked on a spiritual journey towards Torah. We'll uncover what started them on their journey and what truths they discovered along the way. So prepare to be inspired as we take a leap of faith every Sunday at 5 p.m. on Israel News Talk Radio.
We'll be right back.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. And the question we're asking today is, what is it like to be an activist on the Temple Mount? And we're speaking with Michael Miller. You can look him up, by the way, on Facebook. You can even send him a friend request, or you can send him a private message. Feel free to do so. I'm sure he'd be delighted and giddy to hear from people from all over the world and from Israel, of course. So contact him, Michael Miller, super easy to spell, right? Michael Miller on Facebook. Yep. You'll see him with what you're wearing. You're draped in an Israeli flag. Is that
exactly?
That's what you're. A photo there looks like. Okay, so look for a guy draped in an Israeli flag. And just before we got off at the other segment, I was asking you, when you were detained because you had the audacity to say a prayer on the Temple Mount, the most basic prayer for the Jewish people, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one."
Amen.
You were forcefully taken off the Temple Mount with 40 some other people. You were detained. And you were saying?
So I was in the police station for about 40 to 45 minutes. They had me sign something that, quote unquote, I broke the rules. I broke the status quo. I was a chutzpah dick of a Jew because I decided to pray on my holy site in Judaism. God forbid I should ever do such a disastrous thing. And I was simply invited the next day that they said I couldn't, the police said I couldn't come ascend the Temple Mount again, unless I came in for a special hearing of the strict guidelines for non-Muslims.
Oh, so you had to kind of like go for like a brainwashing course.
Exactly. That's what it was. Yeah, I had to go for a brainwashing course. And they had to retell me the things, you know, not to do it again. Be a good shtetl Jew. Be a good exilic Jew. Be a good ghetto Jew. Do what you're told. Don't raise your head up.
Yeah.
And just, you know, be okay. Just, you know what the rules are. Don't do it again. Be a good boy. Do as you're told. And you can go up.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right. I wanted you to share with us, and I mean, I don't know what you're going to share, but give us a story, because so many things happen up there. Share something with us.
So basically, I'll share the first time I went up to the Temple Mount, and I was exposed to it already. This was Yom Yerushalayim, Jerusalem Day, the day that the State of Israel commemorates and signifies the Six-Day War, and one of the victories is that we conquered the Temple Mount from Jordanian occupation back in the Six-Day War. So I got to the Temple Mount gates at 7:30, assuming that I would go up to the Temple Mount at 7:45 after a ridiculous security check. And I saw tourists pass by me, and the police actually forced me to wait because I had simanim. I had the signs of a Jew. I was wearing a kippah. I was wearing tzitzit. And so they put me to the side with the rest of the Jews. And the gates for non-Muslims or for Jews closed at 11 o'clock. And I remember waiting and sweating in the hot sun, getting a nice tan, not in Tel Aviv, but in the heart of Jerusalem. And I was sweating for 3.5 hours. And they finally let us up out of the good graciousness of their heart at 10:55. And they let us up for about a minute or two. And what I saw up there for the first time broke my heart, and it ripped me to shreds. That when I went up there, I saw Muslims and Arabs screaming at me, spitting at me, cursing at me, just because I was a Jew. And I was like, what did I do? I'm not praying. I'm not doing anything, you know, provocative. Like, what is it that you guys are petrified of? What is it that you hate about my presence here? And they were screaming their infamous Allahu Akbar. And I came off the Temple Mount, and I was so embarrassed and ashamed that in the holy site in Judaism, in the one and only Jewish state, that we let this atrocity happen. I cried my eyes out now, and it was like a, if you will, it was a sort of shock therapy. Like Hashem literally hit me in the face, like, duh. Like, I suddenly get it. Like, what Jews don't get, that we have, what have we done with our holy site? And this is the way we treat it, because they are there because we give it up to them. They're not there just by coincidence. You know, we can easily throw them out, but it's like, you know, we give it up, and that kind of.
Right. They lost. We won. We had it and we gave it away. And now you're being cursed at and spit at.
Exactly. And we let them do this, and I was just embarrassed.
And they're not
ashamed.
Arrested, but you are if you dare to mumble your lips, or even say out loud, or even scream out loud a prayer to God, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." You're the one
it's
who's
outrageous.
Taken off and detained. Outrageous.
It's absolutely outrageous. It's a horrible discrimination and apartheid against Jews. And in any other country, this would be considered anti-Semitism. So what happens in the holy site with the Jewish government under Jewish sovereignty, what is this considered? It's nothing more. It can't be considered anything less than than apartheid and racism against Jews in their holiest site. So that was my first encounter of, wow. if you will, the holy site in Judaism and the battle for Jewish sovereignty up there. The second time that really did it for me when I was up there was Tom Nisani, the head of the students for the Temple Mount. I actually videoed him, and I had the schut, or the tremendous merit or privilege, to go up there, and he actually married his wife, Sarah Nisani, on the Temple Mount. And there's video of this. You can look it up on YouTube. An Israeli couple got engaged and married on the Temple Mount. And it created a tremendous, you know, uproar, because it's a sign of Jewish, you know, worship. And they wanted to make a statement that, no, this site belongs to us. We're not going to remain apathetic. We're not going to remain quiet. And we're going to declare loudly and proudly that this place belongs to us and to no other place and to no other people.
Now, Michael, you contacted me because you're doing some type of project now, and you wanted people to know about it. And I said, look, it's about the Temple Mount. Of course I want to help.
Exactly.
What is it exactly that you're doing?
So right now we started a crowdfunding campaign, raising money basically for the movement in which, if God forbid, any Jew gets either detained or arrested for showing or doing any form of Jewish worship, or just getting detained or arrested for no reason whatsoever, and he gets thrown off, we want that Jew to know that we have his or her back. We're going to pay for, you know, lawyers, and we're going to pay for legal help, and we're going to simply support him from the side, that he has nothing, he or she has nothing to worry about. We're going to provide legal representation. We're going to get professional video and filming equipment. We're going to establish student bodies throughout the country on Israeli campuses. We're going to bring hopefully 5,000 students to the Temple Mount in the upcoming year. We're going to also initiate more awareness conference and events to raise more awareness and to draw a larger crowd to Har HaBayit, and also create a social initiative to eventually acquire and gain more Jewish justice and sovereignty on the holy site in Judaism. So really, it is up to us whether or not we want to see an Israeli flag waved proudly on the holy site in Judaism, on Har HaBayit.
Wow, on the Temple Mount. Yes, Amen. There should be, please God, the Jewish flag flying there where it should be. Or you know, actually God's flag. Let's put it that way.
God's flag.
Okay, so we will leave a link on the webpage where the show is podcasted for anybody who wants to click there. And if they want to go and make a donation, if you can't go to Temple Mount yourself, you can do that. You can be part of this by physically, you know, what, PayPal, sending the check, whatever they want to do, they can do. But before we go, we have another 2 minutes left. People who want to take a tour with you, or
yes,
with anybody, but I'm just going to ask with you because I know you. Take a tour of the Temple Mount. How do they do that?
So simply PM me on Facebook. Get in touch with me on Facebook. That's the easiest way.
Is it, you know, expensive, use social media, or free, or how does it work?
So that's the best part. It is totally free. You don't need to pay me, but you can always donate. I won't refuse donations, but it is totally free. The only thing is that you have to get out of bed in the morning, which is hard enough to get out of your bed and out of your pillow. You have to obviously go to a mikvah, a spiritual bath, wear non-leather shoes, and I will expose to you and break the silence for you, obviously from a Jewish perspective, on the Temple Mount, on the holy site in Judaism. So you can reach me. It doesn't cost you anything. It's completely free. All you have to do is come with an open mind, and I will show you everything.
Well, I think it's a really important thing that you take these students, these 5,000 students up there, and show them this, to show them what they're missing, to see our great, 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 great grandfathers, where we used to pray, where we used to serve God, where the light used to emanate from in order to make the world a better place. Jerusalem was one of the seven wonders of the world. And today, alas, we don't have our temple. It's a national tragedy. I always say when the Arabs cry about their quote-unquote Nakba, they're a national tragedy. The Jews have the national tragedy, and that is that we don't have our temple. We don't have a house for God. We're living in apartments or homes in Jerusalem. Where's God's home? Why haven't we built it? Why are we letting people inhabit it up there who are cursing at us and spitting at us and making sure that we're arrested and detained and thrown off the Temple Mount if we dare to mumble a prayer? What is an inalienable right? It's a right of everybody to be able to pray to God. This is just a horrible, horrible thing. And I'm glad that there are people like you who are activists who are saying this is unfair, this is unright, this is not right. We want justice. We want equal rights. We don't want to see this apartheid that the Muslims are enforcing on the Temple Mount. And it's people like you who are getting the things done and moving us towards seeing, please God, and soon the rebuilt holy temple rebuilt the
Amen.
Third temple.
I actually wanted to finish off and say a very, very simple
10 seconds.
A very, very simple question. Daddy, the God of Israel doesn't have a home. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to sit by quietly or are you going to do something about it? Help me redeem the holy site in Judaism.
Amen. Thank you so much, Michael Miller.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you to the listeners.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar. I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom!
Okay, wait a minute.
Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling from the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.